Would you?
They know that today's normally a long, so you're good.
I want to remind you that 5 minutes after the service, we'll take a break, 5 minutes, and then if you're able to stay for a prayer time at the front, we've been doing this periodically, praying for our transition and for God's leading that we might find the right pastor. We would love to have you stay. If you have other things going on, we're not going to go shame on you. We understand. But if you're free and able to join with us for 15 minutes so we can pray together corporately, it'd be wonderful. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Would you stand in honor of this God's word? You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, you've been gracious to us to give us your word through which you speak. We ask that you would take your word and enliven it by your Spirit to us, that we might see what it is you want us to do in this world in which we live. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever wondered, as I have, why God chose to plunk you and me down into the 21st century and into 2020? Have you ever wondered why God put us where we are today? With all the vitriol and all of the violence and all the hatred and all that we hear around us and on the television and in the media of various types, what is it, as we are children of God, that he wants us to do in such a context as this? Wouldn't it have been much more or much less disconcerting if he had placed us in the 1600s during the time of the Puritans? John Bunyan's writings and others, William Law, others that wrote during that time, and Christian influence was so strong. Or the 1700s during the First Great Awakening with Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield, where revival spread up and down the coast and people found God in wonderful, wonderful ways. Or the 1800s during the Second Awakening, when God moved particularly through men and people like Charles Finney, as they spoke, God came down and people found Jesus. And whole communities like Rochester, New York, were totally revived. And the jails were shut down because of the work of God in the midst. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to live in that kind of context? Or even the early 1900s with Billy Sunday and others like him, as God moved in miraculous ways. But for some reason, God chose you and me to live where we live in the 21st century, in the year 2020, with all that is going around us in our society, in your neighborhood, my neighborhood, in our workplaces, in our classrooms at school, where we are in this particular context. And we say, Lord God, with all of this darkness, I mean, politics is dark, entertainment is dark, government is dark, social media is dark, it's dark everywhere. And we say, Lord, here I am, a follower of yours. What is it that you want me to do? And we cry out, Lord, send us light. this is what we need in America and in our world. Lord, send us light. And heaven is silent, and sudden a word comes and he says, you are light. I am sending the light. You are the light of the world. And so Jesus, as he's talking to the disciples and the multitude around him, moves forward here on this famous Sermon on the Mount and quickly gives three metaphors that were common to them. He says, you are the light of the world. Light is very powerful. It is very piercing. Traveling, what is it, 186,281 miles per second. Boom! It lights up. It slices. It goes through quickly, powerful, mighty. And it's revelatory. It shows us what we need to see. And when we're working with intricate things, we need to see the light of the world. And then he talks about the city on a hill that's not hid. And some say in that context, as he was speaking, there was a town not far away, about a half mile away on a rise, and he may well have just spread his arm and said, a city on a hill cannot be hid. And you and I know when we've traveled, we've seen the horizon light up, and we know that there is a city there. It can't be hid. We see it. Or a lamp on a stand. And in that particular culture in that time, houses were not large, commonly one room. Sometimes not even a window, but there was always a stone shelf upon which a lamp could be set. And it was put there so that everybody in the house could see what they were doing. And Jesus says, that's who we, my brothers and sisters, are to be like. In this dark world, a light for the world, a city not hid, a lamp not covered. He uses these three metaphors in order to give to us a mandate that he wants us to follow, because the text says, in the same way, let your light so shine before others or men that they may see your good works. That's our mission. Raise the blinds that we have individually and as a church. Now that means that we have to have light within us. If we don't have light and we raise the blinds, we're not doing any good whatsoever. But he says, we're told to be the light. So if we have little light, dim light, intermittent light, or a flicker of light, we really don't have much influence for the world. So the call is that we will be people who are immersed in the light, that you and I will step in wholeheartedly, body, soul, and spirit, to enjoy the light and receive the light that God gives to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. That's where we get the light from Jesus. The middle of December, you may have seen it, there was a unique moon. It happens periodically in December. It goes by different names, the cold moon, the oak moon, some other names. But I was traveling a number of miles west of here when this moon in all its fullness was right before me. I mean, it was bright. Maybe some of you saw it. It was really strong. I could have read a book. And it was blasting forth. And as I drove, I was reminded of the fact that the moon has no light. The moon has no light. The only light that had was from the sun itself. They said it was exactly opposite of the sun, and it received all of that light from the sun, all of that reflection, and it was reflecting the light of the sun. My friends, brothers and sisters, you and I, together, we need to have that light in us that Jesus has so that we can be reflectors of that light. Amy Semple McPherson told that a number of times a story that when she was a child, and by the way, I don't recommend this, children, hold your ears, that she played a game with her friends, and it was, let's see who can stare at the sun the longest. Then she said, after that, all I could see was the sun. Everywhere I looked, that's all I could see was the sun. Do you realize, my brothers and sisters, that if you and I were that focused on Jesus, that we would see him everywhere all day long? In fact, Mother Teresa used to tell those that worked with her, I want you to spend time every morning focusing upon Jesus. And then the rest of the day, you'll see him everywhere. So that's the kind of light we need to have, a call to immersion in the light. Secondly, a call to engaging in gospel works. Gospel works is what you and I must do as light of the world. Now, the first gospel work I recommend is that of prayer. I base that on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It tells us we ought to pray. And then you remember the story of the people of God who were exiled, taken to Babylon, and Jeremiah 29, verse 7, when they were so upset about being in this wicked place, they just wanted to form their own little circle. And God said to them, no way, you've got to put your roots down, you've got to love this place, you've got to pray for the prosperity of this place. So as people of Jesus, light of the world, we need to engage in prayer, praying for our nation, praying for our society, praying for where we work and where we live, and praying that God will help us, that he might be raised up. We also need to, another gospel work is that we ought to, with God's help, the Spirit's help, we ought to live in a way that we reflect the character of Jesus wherever we are. Jesus was winsome. Jesus loved people. I don't think Jesus went through his life frowning at people. I think he smiled. I think we can at least smile at people as we go through the day. People who don't complain. What is it? Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16 say something like this. We ought not to be people who are complaining and who are murmuring about things. And we can get into that because people around us, where we work, where we live, there's always this murmuring, complaining. We are called to be people who don't do that, who are upbeat, who are positive in that particular emphasis around us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. Tells us that we ought not to let any corrupt communication come out of our mouths. No corrupt communication, only that which edifies other people. Most mornings, five mornings a week, Linda and I pray for our grandchildren. And five of them are still in school. We pray every morning against the corruption that they encounter. You know, you know the bad stories, the jokes, even where you work sometimes, some off-color joke, and they're expecting us to give some kind of a chuckle or whatever to it. We need to pray for our children that their ears, their hearts are protected from corrupt communication. But also that we edify people, that we don't go around even sarcasm. That we have the character of Jesus, gospel works, character of Jesus. That we engage in helping our community the way we can. I'm amazed, as I had opportunity to serve in leadership in districts, to see what churches are doing in their communities. In fact, just recently I was with a church that told me they have so much poverty in their community that every Wednesday night they have 100 children plus their parents come in to their fellowship hall, and they feed them for free. I remember a Spanish church in the former district I was with. They noted the number of immigrants that were coming in from South America, warm climate. So they began collecting coats and taking coats to these people and handing them out food banks, all kinds of things that, and some of these things we may be doing here, praise God. Also showing compassion and mercy when national tragedies occur. This is how we can be light. I remember reading an article after Katrina went through in the South, a number of people saying, well, the government's gone, but the churches are still here. They're still feeding us. They're still building us. That's what it means to be the light of the world. He gives to us a mandate, but he also gives to us the reason for us doing all this. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. He didn't put a period there, but he said, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what it's about. God's magnification. The mission involves magnifying God. And magnify means to bring God up close. So that's our role, that we can do whatever we can, even just saying little things in the community. You know, God bless you. Look what God's done for us. Bringing God up close, bringing God into the picture. When I was in my first year of college, I had three roommates beside myself, and we were there probably about the second week, and about it seemed like it was about 5 in the morning. It may have been later than that. Peter, one of the roommates, jumped out of bed, pulled open the curtains of the window, looked out, and he yells, guys, how can you sleep? Get up! Get up! Get out of bed, Randy, Rick, Butch, come on, get over here and look. Look at the sun on the Hudson River. It's beautiful. Look at the Tappan Zee Bridge. Look, you've got to get over here. My friend Peter was so taken up with the beauty, he could not keep it to himself. Oh, may I be so taken up with the beauty of Jesus that I cannot keep it to myself. We want to magnify him. And we want to give gospel words and we want to give gospel works to all those around us. Gospel works are important. Gospel words are important as well. In the last interim I did, acting chairman of the board, the vice chairman of the board, wanted to have lunch with me or breakfast with me a couple times a week. And we went to different restaurants. Every single time, my friend Dave, when the server would come and take our order, he would always say, I want you to know we're going to be praying for the meal. Now, we want to pray for you. What kinds of things should we be praying for you? I can't tell you how many times the servers were greatly moved. And their stories were amazing, and it gave us opportunity to walk into their life and talk more about Jesus to them. Taking opportunities that are there to talk about Jesus. One of the television episodes back in the 1960s that centered around the Andy Griffith Show was a story about the sheriff, Andy, had to go out of town. And so he called his deputy, Barney, in, and he said, Barney, you're in charge. Yeah, that's right, I don't know, Barney. Barney was a little nervous, so Barney said, well, I'm going to get my good friend, Gomer Pyle, the town mechanic, to come and help me. So they were walking down the street one evening, and they looked, and lo and behold, the bank, the town bank, was being robbed. They ducked behind a car, very much afraid, not sure what they were going to do. When Gomer says, Barney, Shazam, we've got to call the police now. And Barney says, what? We are the police. Well, we may look around us and say, Lord, give us light in this world that's full of vitriol and violence and hatred and problem and corruptness and things turn upside down, and we may say, God, give us light. And he says, I'm giving you light. You are the light of the world. Let's pray. Lord, frankly, it's a little bit overwhelming when we see all of the darkness in politics, the darkness in entertainment, the darkness in, well, everywhere. So, Lord, we ask that you would fill us so much with yourself that we will be overcome with light within us, and then that we will shine that light as you lead us in shining that light where we live, where we work. Help us to say words. Help us to engage in gospel works and gospel words for your honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. If you're willing to be that light, this next